Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday, and we have something really fun, something really new. For, 3 years now, I had the privilege of being the host of His Time and talking with our friends from Lutheran Senior Services every week. And now here on Faith and Family, I've been here on Faith and Family for 3 years now, too. And our friends from LSS have moved over to Faith and Family with me as well here on Thursdays. In studio this morning, Anne Marie Wallace. Good morning, Anne Marie. Welcome back.
Good morning, Andy. I know we're following you.
The nice thing is you don't have to be here so early.
I know. So our old time was every Thursday at 7:30, 7:40 in the morning. And now we've moved to every other Thursday here at 10 a.m. for the Faith and Family segment. And we're just really excited to be here to kind of share some of the resources, all the resources really that LSS provides for our community, for those of our residents living within our continuing care retirement communities, affordable housing, just all the great resources and experts that LSS has. We're bringing that knowledge to you at 10 a.m. on the Faith and Family.
So glad to have you here. And you brought along a friend with you from LSS.
I did. Well, actually, I bring along several friends today. In a moment, I'm going to introduce you all to Ann Seramy, who is our Director of Marketing and Communications, who's going to share with us some great information. But also as well in studio is Andrea Hinkle, who is our web and video specialist, and she brings with her our entire Facebook audience, because right now we are Facebook living, which means if you go to facebook.com/Lutheran Senior Services, you can see this broadcast through video. So we're all going to wave to everyone there. We're glad that you guys could join us as well on Facebook Live, so come and join us.
Now, is that a word, Facebook living?
I've just made it. Yes, it's an action word now. Facebook
Live. Now I'm going to have to credit you when I use that term.
Yes, in air quotes.
In the words of Anne-Marie Wallace, Facebook Living.
Facebook Living.
Mm-hmm. I like it. We've done that a few times on His Time when you come over, especially when we have our food segments.
Which are definitely going to continue, because I know that you love to eat.
You know me well.
So anyway, I want to jump right into it because I do, like I said earlier, want to introduce Ann Seramy.
Hello.
From Lutheran Senior Services. She brings so much knowledge to what we do as a part of a senior living and care organization. But today especially, we know the weather is coming. We know that that means that power lines could be down, or just it's hard to get from point A to point B. And Anne's going to share with us some real practical guidelines as to how we can prepare for winter hazards. So we're really glad to have you in studio today.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I will tell you, though, I'm kind of sad that our topic is so topical. Okay? Winter hazards. With the upcoming storm, as you both kind of mentioned, the ice, the winter hazards, it's going to be tough the next couple of days, especially for our older residents. And if you don't mind, since we do, as you mentioned, kind of have a new segment, I want to mention just a few things about who we are at Lutheran Senior Services.
Absolutely.
We are a nonprofit, in fact, the number one nonprofit in Greater St. Louis. Now, I know our audience was worldwide here, but I will tell you that many of us know Lutheran Senior Services by our communities. We have actually 21 different communities in Illinois, Central Missouri, and our Greater St. Louis area. You may know them as names like Laclee Groves, right, in Webster Groves, where my mom lives. Merrimack Bluffs, our beautiful, beautiful location in Baldwin. A Breeze Park in St. Charles. Maybe Meridian Village in over across the river in Glen Carbon. Or Mason Point, our newest location in Town and Country. And why I'm bringing this up is because we are in service to our seniors. That is who we are at Lutheran Senior Services. So when we talk about winter hazards, we know one of the primary winter hazards for our seniors is, as you can imagine, okay, physical and mental. It's falls, right? I mean, that's kind of something that all of us, you know, I don't care what age we are, we have to be very careful this time of year. And when we talk about physical and mental, there's such a close relation to it. We have to really be concerned that we are exercising, that we are doing the things on a regular basis like we have in our communities. We have incredible exercise programs that are offered by our residents, folks that live there, and from outside sources that we have coming in. But when we talk about, you know, some of the things that we're most concerned about here, we're going to talk a lot about the physical here. What do we need to prepare for?
Exactly. So, Anne, I know that as we go forward, the winter weather is coming. Slips, trips, and falls, you said, are some of the big ones. And this is information, like you said, not only for our older adults, but really for anyone listening, because we all have the ability to slip, trip, or fall. What are you recommending in terms of this upcoming weather?
Well, you know, some of my recommendations have changed a bit since December 19th when the ice storm hit. If you guys remember that Friday before, week before Christmas, okay? How long did it take you to get home, Andy?
I actually had scheduled to be off that day, so I was already home and I wasn't paying attention to the weather, but we had plans for that evening that were canceled because of the weather. But I remember the ice because I remember trying to take the trash out that next day.
Ooh. Wow.
And fortunately, as you said, as you mentioned, any one of us could slip and fall. And that was the case. Fortunately, I had enough padding on had enough insulation on that when I fell, I didn't break any bones. But I very easily could have because I fell on a hard surface, a black top driveway, trying to take out the trash. And I'm sure for those who were watching, if anybody saw, it was probably entertaining when I was trying to get back up on the steps because it was so slick that I had to get down on all hands and knees in order to get from the driveway onto the steps to go back into our home.
Oh my gosh. You know, it was horrible. I was talking to one resident who had actually gone down to Cape Girardeau and was driving back up because she was actually picking up, okay, her granddaughter from college down there. And I was talking with her about just, you know, the whole scenario and how horrible it was. But she said, I wish I was more prepared. She said, I wish I had in my car, okay, some of the things that we have brought to the studio, and I'm going to describe them. Most importantly, water, the basic source for all of us for hydration. I can't tell you whether, you know, any age, we have to make sure we are constantly hydrating during this weather, especially because your body tricks you. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that you don't think you need to drink water. And it's the most important thing to keep a regular schedule. We have in our car kit in studio here, we have in our winter hazard kit that we keep in our car, we have four different bottles. Just they're small bottles, but they're just available for anyone. You may have passengers in your car. You want to keep sure you're prepared. Some other things, can I show you what we have?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do keep water in my car. It does freeze, but I don't know I don't think that's a problem. It'll eventually melt when you need it, right?
I don't know. really, you know, when you think about that, you know, if you have to be on Highway 55, which is, you know, one of the one of the highways in our local area here, and you have to turn off your car for a couple hours and you don't have that heat, you know, you're right. It could be an issue.
Sure. But keeping it in something like this that's insulated, it might not freeze as quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then, of course, that brings us to another point. You're in your vehicle. It's cold, okay? You are just having to wait it out for a while. What kind of things should you have with you? Well, of course, extra blankets, obviously, right? I mean, that is just the number one thing. Maybe even a couple for other folks in your vehicle. Extra gloves, socks, making sure you have an extra pair of socks so that you can actually walk outside on the ice. You can actually put them on your boots. This is great, okay? How great. Extra ear guards, all right? But this is a couple of things that you may not have readily available. Just some basic fiber bars, things that are going to give you some energy and will sustain you through a couple hours of wading through. You want to keep your sugar, your blood sugar level consistent. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get into that mode where you're very concerned about becoming weak. You want to make sure that you have protection from a light source, all right? And the reason why that's so important is if there are no lights, if your car vehicle is off and you have to turn it on to alert other folks that you are here for help, your flashlight's going to be your number one source for assistance. All right, this is pretty obvious. In studio here, we have an umbrella. All right, but the umbrella will serve as several different, okay, helpful aids. Of course, to help you from the rain. But in a blinding snowstorm, if, you know, you have to leave your vehicle, which we don't recommend, you know, this is something that can help you get, if you have a very close building you're going to get to for shelter, you can use this in a blizzard to actually protect you. But the other thing you can do is stick it out your window, put it up, okay, roll your window back up, and it's a great visual aid for someone driving by. You can even put a sign on it saying, help, help. This is the obvious thing under here, the jumper cables, okay? I'm not going to open them up in studio, but everyone knows one of the serious car issues right now is loss of battery, okay? And a couple other things in here, okay? Your basic screwdriver. Amory, what do you think these are for?
It's in case you need to change anything, as you know, there's slight repairs, or maybe what if even the window, like you can't get the car door open and you need to break the window or something like that. Tools, I think, are just always good to have on hand as well. So, Anne, I know this kit that we have here was actually purchased, and I looked online, and you can purchase an emergency car kit for as little as $30. You can get nicer ones that are up to $50 or $70, but you could also, like Anne kind of did, is take it, you know, these are things that you find within your house, and you can make one yourself. So I think it's a necessary thing. I'm so glad you brought that today.
Thank you. And the last item I'm really going to show, okay, to everyone here on Facebook Live and in studio, if you can hear that, okay, that is your basic small bag of cat litter. No, it's not in case your cat is in your vehicle with you, okay? There's multiple uses for this. And actually, after December 19th, a coworker of mine bought this, and she was the one that said, hey, we have to start being more prepared. We have to make sure we've got the right things so that if we need to get our car out of an area that's very snow or ice covered, we can get some traction under the tires by putting cat litter. It's that basic way to get movement on your vehicle if you're stuck. It's all about preparing. It's all about making sure that you have a great lifeline, okay, to help yourself until help arrives.
And really, all the stuff that Anne brought today, it does not take up much room. And you say, like, it could fit in the back of your trunk, and you could just leave it in there, you know, swapping out the water as, you know, maybe you need to refresh it, or even, you know, the granola bars and things. But it does not take up much space, and it could be a lifesaver if your car goes off the road or if you're stranded somewhere, that you have the supplies that you need.
At Lutheran Senior Services, I gotta tell you, okay, we know that when you move into one of our homes, we have an incredible maintenance program. We take care, okay, of your needs, but we recognize that we want to make sure that people are very vibrant, they're active in our communities, and they do have vehicles, they're leaving, that they are also well prepared.
I keep a sleeping bag actually in the back of my car, so it serves as a blanket. But also, if I'm stuck somewhere overnight because of the weather,
then
I have something to rest on too, or rest in, stay covered up.
Kind of in the back seat, you could almost lay out.
That's right.
Do you have an ice scraper?
I do.
Good.
Yeah.
This is something, unfortunately, we may need in the next 24 to 48 hours. All right, that's so important.
And I have seen, especially when I'm at work, some people will almost prepare for an ice storm by, you can lay down cardboard or pieces of paper on your windshield before the ice storm so that you don't have to be out there kind of chipping away. You just take off the cardboard and then you're good to go. So that's a great practical tip for tomorrow. Everyone make sure that if you're in the St. Louis area, I think the storm is also reaching to a little bit of Oklahoma as well, Kansas, that maybe bring a piece of cardboard to work tomorrow and spread that over your windshield so that way you don't have to spend hours hopefully scraping.
Absolutely. No, I mean, really, older adults living life to fullest is our mission, okay? And it, again, it matters not just about how we take care inside. We want to make sure when we are outside, we are very well prepared. With that in mind, we did bring a few things to talk about regarding our exterior, making sure that we are prepared with the right clothing when we go out. So, Andy, would you mind?
Sure. All right. So I understand I get to be the model today.
You get to be the model today. All so right. We brought in a bunch of winter wear, things that you can protect yourself with as you go out. So if the weather gets cold, this is what you should be wearing. So Andy is our model here in studio. And like we said earlier, if you'd like to see what's going on right now, you can go to Facebook, search for Lutheran Senior Services, and you'll actually see what's happening in studio right now. And Andy, you
look very... Do we have to put a tag at the end that fashion design, or what is it, wardrobe by LSS?
Wardrobe by LSS. So the first thing Anne's brought in is she's got some scarves, so we want to make sure that we protect our neck. She's wrapped a scarf around Andy's head as well. A lot of heat is lost through your head, so when you're going out, you want to make sure that you have your neck covered, that you have your head protected. And that's really, you're looking very nice today, Andy.
Okay, he even has a baseball cap on under his hood, which is great because that's going to give him that extra protection on his head in case he needs, okay, to actually go out in the elements, okay? That bill on that hat, okay, is going to help you tremendously. Oh my gosh, you have three scarves on. Wow, all over your face, all over your inside and outside. And check out the gloves that we brought
these
in
are high
on
tech.
Facebook. Yeah, these are really those thick waterproof, has a strap on it so that you can really tighten them around your hands. Not too tight, but just enough so that you can make sure no snow blinding snow gets in. Wow, this is incredible. These are like that ultimate glove. This is the glove that, you know, you want to have when you're trekking out there and shoveling and really making a difference.
Andy, are you feeling a little warm?
I am nice and cozy.
Nice and cozy in there?
We're not having you put the boots on, but of course a good sturdy boot is critical. It's important to keep the elements out. It's important to make sure that we have the right things to keep our feet protected. Socks, of course, underneath it is important, but you might have heard me say this a minute ago. If you put socks over your boots when you're walking on ice, that is one of the best tricks for traction. So I gotta make sure that everybody understands, throw an extra pair of socks in your vehicle. Even if you just have regular shoes on, what a great way to put them over so you can help you not slip on the ice.
Ooh, that is a good trick. So Andy's got on some scarves to protect his neck, his head. He's got a hat because a lot of your body heat escapes from your head. We've got good gloves that are able to be tight around your wrists so that we don't get any snow in between. And then good boots. And I think, Anne, you'd agree that that's probably the most important part there with some good traction.
I am nice and cozy. I'm good to go for a while.
Nice and cozy. Well, and then the other thing, it's not only just the outerwear, but people say always to dress in layers. So you want to make sure your first layer is kind of getting rid of that moisture layer there. The second layer is for your thermal. So you're throwing over a sweatshirt or something that's thick and warm. And then the jacket that you have on is a great example of then the last layer kind of protecting you from the winter elements.
So think of it more like a parfait. Layers is good.
Layers is so good to have, especially during the winter.
And we talked at the beginning of the segment about how preventing falls are so important to all of us. And some of the other tips, in addition to putting your socks over your shoes if you need to walk on ice, are really more on the preventative side. I want to just mention a couple of those. Mm-hmm. Your muscles are so important to keep active. That is one of the things at the heart of Lutheran Senior Services, that we make sure in all of our communities that we keep as a forefront for our residents, making sure we give them a variety of choices that they can be active and engaged, because using their muscles is everything. That is what's going to make a difference, okay, as we all age vibrantly so that we're active. And one of the things when you are just, you know, really talking about preventing falls, it's those little things that are going to matter. How we all walk, right? Making sure you do that shuffle. If it's
the penguin shuffle.
I definitely did that last time there was ice.
Yeah. I did too. I read it, okay?
I did the shuffle and then some of it was downhill, so I just kept sliding. Couldn't stop.
I'm sorry about that. Let's prevent that, okay?
Yeah.
Making sure that, of course, we hold on, okay? There's always something that we can hold on to, making sure that when we do walk, it is small steps. We are not, because we are rushing, trying to get out of the elements, being extra, you know, energetic, mm-hmm. making sure we're very, very careful about how we walk. And then lastly, it's really important when we talk about preventing falls, okay,
yeah.
is to make sure we're kind of looking ahead, making sure we are seeing what's in front of us. And most importantly, you know, if you can stay home, if you can stay at your Lutheran Senior Services home, stay home amongst the other members of your community and all the activities we have.
Sure. There's plenty of time throughout the year to get outside and do things. When the mm-hmm. weather's like that, when there's ice, when it's freezing out, it's not the time to get out and move around, right?
Absolutely.
Do the fun things inside that day.
Get a good book, sit yeah. down, call a friend, there's so many things that you can do because, yeah, going outside, especially in weather like that, I think that's where we run into the most accidents. That's where we see a lot of people who come to our Reach short stay location. You know, unfortunately, we get a lot more folks within the winter months because they weren't taking precautions and we slipped and unfortunately we had an accident and then they come to Reach so that they can get better and back to where they were. But safety is so important.
I was looking at lssliving.org, which is our website, on some of our senior living communities activities. And there is such a variety of things for people to do inside in the winter. I don't care if you're talking about games, inside movies we bring folks, if you're doing exercises, if you're doing arts, crafts, if whatever your passion, music. That's the kind of things, whether you're at Lutheran Senior Services communities or at home, you want to keep making sure you're active mentally, you know, and physically mm-hmm. to make sure you're engaged and not, you know, saying, hey, it's so cold out. Let's just, you know, naturally all just sit and relax.
And hibernate.
Yes, exactly.
I think we need to do a field trip on Faith and Family. I think we need to come over and do some activities at one of the LSS
great.
Communities. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be excellent.
When I see the pictures of all the communities, I mean, I think last time I looked at the pictures for Merrimack Bluffs and I saw all the fun things to do there. Well, I was ready to move in, but apparently I can't move in yet. We already talked about that, though.
Yeah, I think we could definitely go and take a field trip. Those are one of my favorite things to do and visit one of our communities. And of course, we could Facebook Live that event so people could all see it for themselves. Excellent idea, Andy. You're planning our programming for us.
Well, I just, I saw the virtual tour of the communities on the LSS website.
Absolutely.
And saw all the things there and thought, wow, it's exactly what you were describing, a vibrant community where there are plenty of opportunities to stay engaged in interacting with one another. The environment is such that it lends itself to interaction and things like that. Not that you always have to be interacting when you're living in a senior living community. If you have more of a preference for introversion. You have your own space. You can be alone when you want to be alone, but you have all of these opportunities to get together and interact in a community, whether it's through the times that you eat together or other activities that are planned or some that are spontaneous, I'm sure.
Absolutely. My mom is a great reader. She loves books. And, you know, for me, it's a passion. I'm so grateful she gave to me. There's a book club at Laclede Groves that she joined because it's just a great way mm-hmm. to talk about, you know, her passion.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, most of that, you know, she just loves to read by herself.
Mm-hmm.
But they even share the books. There's a library that people just donate their books and then she can ask folks, you know, kind of which ones, you know, they like.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, she's found that to be really exciting for her because although, like you said, Andy, it's not like she always wants to be around other people.
Sure.
Sometimes she just wants to sit and read. She's got just a wealth of other folks that she can talk to about recommendations for books or even the bookmobile comes mm-hmm. to them, which I just think is at Laclede Groves, which I think is fabulous.
Would you say if she didn't get out and interact over a couple of days, who would come ask? Who would notice?
Oh my gosh. You know what, Andy? It was a real situation that recently happened. I mean, there was a lifesaver over Christmas for my mom. I can't believe you asked that. It just, frankly, it was... you know, something that we had just seen her a few days beforehand and didn't realize she had gotten an infection. And immediately, my mom's in assisted living, and she, you know, she loves, you know, going down to the dining services. She loves the activities. She goes to Walgreens. You know, they shuttle her over to Walgreens, and she gets to do all kinds of fun things with folks, you know, which she loves too. But the part that I'm most grateful for for being a part of Lutheran Senior Services and at Laclede Groves, of course, is, you know, the checking up. She didn't come down the hall to where she gets her morning medicines. Mm-hmm. And they immediately know at this time she's always there every morning, because it really depends on when she wants to come. You know, mm-hmm. it's a very great way. We took a look at personal care for all the residents. But what happened was she wasn't there, and they immediately came down to her, and she'd gotten an infection that needed to be treated immediately. And they recognized that and took care of it.
Wow.
You have nurses on staff. I mean, how great is that?
Yeah.
You know, it's
I know right now, and then your mom, she's being treated for the infection, but then she's now at Reach Short Stay at Laclede Groves as well, which is very convenient because it's right next to where she's living for assisted living. So talk about ease of, you just kind of hop right over.
Oh my gosh. I visited her yesterday a little bit before lunch. She was having therapy. It was so individualized. The physical therapist was literally working with her, and she was doing more things than I ever imagined she would do, and she's getting better so much faster because of the excellent care.
Yay.
Wonderful. Find out more about it on lssliving.org and Facebook Live. The video will still be there too after today as well.
Correct. Right? We'll post it so you can go back and watch it again and make sure you jot down the list of all the things you should be kind of getting ready for the winter.
So facebook.com/LutheranSeniorServices. Lutheran Senior Services. Find the video from today. You can see me trying on all the fantastic winter wear. There's one scarf I don't want to give back.
It's a nice
matches.
Looking scarf.
It is.
It's
I like that gray one. Yeah. Well, thank you all for being here today. Thanks for our time together, for the tips on staying safe in this this winter weather. I really appreciate the tips. I know our listeners do as well. And Anne, so glad to have
thank you
in
Eddie.
Studio today. Anne Marie, thanks for being here.
As always.
And Andrea, thanks for hanging out here in the studio with us as well. We'll see you all in 2 weeks.
Yep, I think the next time will be January 26th at 10 a.m. So we can't wait to bring more experts on and talk about all the things that have to do with senior living and care.
You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
The pain, anguish, and guilt of a past abortion can weigh heavily on those who've made an abortion decision. It can also have a devastating effect on the abortionists and their staff who provide the abortion services. An example of that reality can be found in the country of Georgia, where some women who've had abortions and abortionists themselves feel remorse and are taking action. They're actually constructing a church as an act of repentance, and their efforts have been blessed by the patriarch. Under communism, many women didn't grasp the spiritual implications of the sin of abortion, but have come to the realization of this truth through their church. It's a grim reminder to us regarding the pain felt by women, men, and the abortion industry who regret choosing abortion.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
The faithful face many challenges. In the United States, an increasingly secular society is hostile to people of faith. In many parts of the world, Christians face persecution and even death. Jesus himself warned us that we would be hated and persecuted for his sake. Free to Be Faithful is a religious education and awareness campaign of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Part of that campaign is a 30-minute in-depth examination of specific religious liberty issues, and it's aired the third Wednesday of each month on Worldwide KFUO. I'm moderator Kip Allen. I examine these issues from a Christian point of view with experts from both the religious and secular worlds. Topics include the impact of the election on religious liberty, assaults on the traditional definition of marriage and family, and the fight for life. Listen live on Worldwide KFUO or streaming online at kfuo.org. The program may also be downloaded on demand.
Come on, smile.
Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Biblical images and metaphors for Christ include shepherd, light, servant, and many others. On the next Sing for Joy, you will hear music honoring and celebrating Christ the Lamb. Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God. Join us.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday, January 12th. Lots of great things going on here in St. Louis. National Lutheran Schools Week is just around the corner. Are you familiar with Lutheran schools? Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I grew up most of my life in public schools. It wasn't until I went to college that I went to a Lutheran university, a Lutheran school. And what value is there in Lutheran schools? What can we expect from our Lutheran schools? Well, Lutheran Elementary School Association here in St. Louis has an event coming up, and I'm sure many schools across the country have events coming up for National Lutheran Schools Week coming up near the end of this month, just just a week and a half away, not too far down the road. We're going to celebrate that here on Faith and Family, talking with Lutheran schools here in St. Louis and around the country, and learning from Lutheran educators why Lutheran schools make a difference. We have a mom in studio with us today to tell us about her experience with a Lutheran school and our friends from Lutheran Elementary School Association. We have Kit Aubel from Lutheran Elementary School Association in studio with us today. Good morning, Kit.
Good morning.
Glad to have you in studio. Welcome back to Faith and Family.
Nice to be here. Thank you, Andy.
And we've got a National Lutheran Schools Week open house coming up in the St. Louis area. We're going to get to details about that later on in the program, but coming up not too long from now.
Correct. Sunday, January 22nd, basically from noon to 3. The majority of our member Lutheran schools in the St. Louis greater metropolitan region will be hosting an open house as a component of National Lutheran Schools Week. I encourage anyone who's interested in attending any open house at any given school to contact that school directly and confirm the date and time, because many schools have different different activities.
Lutheran Elementary School Association, made up of a number of schools here in the St. Louis area, in this Midwest region. About how many schools is that?
35 member schools in the bi-state region here are members of LISA, and 31 are elementary school and 4 high schools.
And we have one family from one of those schools today to highlight. Laura Susick in studio with us this morning. Laura, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you in studio, and can't wait to learn about your family. Tell me a little bit about what led to your decision to consider a Lutheran school as your partner for educating your children.
Well, I think if you would ask any of my college friends or high school friends, and they would told them that I was going to have my kids in a private school, they'd probably laugh. I was a public school kid. I didn't actually have a lot of, I wasn't a regular churchgoer when I was a kid, and I didn't have a lot of spiritual guidance. I had great parents, loving parents, but I didn't have a base other than the Easter and Christmas services that we'd kind of hop around to. I knew that God was in my life, but I didn't realize what He was giving me. And so I promised myself I would not get emotional when I came and talked because it's so easy. So when I was pregnant with my son, who's 9 now, and he's a third grader at St. Paul's in De Pere, my husband and I made the conscious effort to find a church that we felt was going to make us feel like we were compatible with the pastors and with the church itself. And we live in Webster Groves, not too close to St. Paul's De Pere, but close enough. Mm-hmm. And our neighbors across the street actually attended there. So we started taking classes when I was to become members when I was pregnant with my son, Brady, which then led to Parents Day Out program when he was about 9 or 10 months old. I went back to work part time, which led to a second child going through a Parents Day Out program, which led to the St. Paul's Early Education Center for preschool. And then when my son was about to enter kindergarten, we have an elementary school that's, you know, it's one block over from our house in Webster Groves. And we attended the open house there and also attended the open house at St. Paul's, already active, enthusiastic members of the church, but not sure we were willing to spend the money or sure. willing to make the drive, mm-hmm. knowing we had such a convenient spot in our backyard. We went to the open house at Webster, and we went to the open house at St. Paul's De Pere. We met the pastor, we met the teachers, and we just immediately felt like this was worth trying, at least for a year. At that time, Webster Schools was charging for full-day kindergarten, and we needed to put Brady in full-day kindergarten. I already had my daughter at the ECC, and we thought, let's try this out for a year since we're going to be already coming to the ECC for Brooke. And about 2 weeks in, we were hook, line, and sinker. And it was from then on that we were going to be sending our kids to a school where they were learning, but Christ was the center and the purpose for their lives.
Thanks be to God for children, how they're such a gift that bring us to this focus in God's word.
Yes.
You know, that God uses them as a means to bring us into his word, to hear his word regularly. All because we're simply trying to live out our vocation as parents and take care of them, and we want what's best for them.
Right. And we are confident we're giving them that at our school, 100%.
So it started with this Parents Day Out, early childhood, then kindergarten. And now what grade are your children in?
So my son is now in third grade mm-hmm. at St. Paul's, and my daughter's in first grade. And they just got their report cards, straight A's, which I was very excited about. Little work on handwriting, but that's okay. We just celebrated that last night. So,
congratulations!
Yeah, thank you.
Now, tell me about their teachers. How do you get to know their teachers? What's the parent-teacher relationship like?
Well, I'll tell you a couple little anecdotes and some reasons where I knew we made the right decision. Our first year in kindergarten, we had Andrea Weiss, who was her first year transitioning to the kindergarten class. She was a young teacher, and I remember meeting her for the first time. She came and did a home visit at our home to meet Brady and my daughter and me and Mike. And she was in her mid-20s or something, you know, and she was kind of, you could tell she was kind of a little bit nervous meeting us, but then within like seconds, we were like family, and she was a gift to my son beyond belief. She was a wonderful teacher for him. He still says she's one of his, you know, one of his favorites, but I mean, he's only had like 4 years. He says every year it was his favorite teacher. But we are also, and then my daughter was actually in the Early Education Center. It was the preschool teacher there that actually helped me discover my daughter's anxiety. She was diagnosed with severe anxiety at the age of 5, and it was her second year at the ECC when, you know, they asked if I wanted to have a parent-teacher conference, and I was like, oh, I've been through preschool before. I'm like, oh, I'm sure she's fine. She's like, no, I actually think you really need to come in. And she had a 2-page report on Brookie about, you know, what was... She noticed the differences socially with her, and through that, it opened my eyes to the things that were going on with her, which led me to getting her a psychiatrist. She started counseling at the ECC, and then there was counseling offered once she got into elementary school, weekly counseling where they take her out and they work with her. If it wouldn't have been for her, I wouldn't have probably been just thinking that was the norm for a couple more years, and the early intervention has been absolutely key for my daughter. So between Brady's experience of just having, I'm also a room mom. I volunteer for the, I volunteer as a solicitations chair for our school auction every other year. I'm really involved because there's so many opportunities, and we do the golf tournament, so we get to golf with the teachers, and every year I have a back-to-school cocktail kind of party at my home, and we raise money for the school, and all the teachers are invited, so we get to spend time with them, and we worship with them on Sundays. And my kids always light up when they see their teachers taking communion. And so you get to see an example of the teachers. Mm-hmm. Not only, you know, they're living what they're teaching these kids every week because they're seeing them in church, and they're hugging them and asking them how their weekend was, and it's like an extended family.
You mentioned, or you and I have something in common. We both went to public school, didn't mm-hmm. really have any exposure to Lutheran schools. I didn't, at least until later in life. Uh-huh. And you mentioned one of the first things that was significant for you was that home visit from the teacher. Mm-hmm. What did you think about that when the teacher said, I'd like to make a home visit. I'd like to come visit you in your home.
Never heard of that before. I thought it was great. And I thought that, it kind of brings me back to, you know, welcoming the teachers into our home for, you know, the fundraising party we have at the beginning of the year, and playing golf with them. And, you know, we have Olympic game night coming next, you know, this next month, and the teachers are all involved. I mean, I'm not nervous to ask them about, like, what's going on with your life? Or, you know, how are your kids? Or, I mean, there's a real relationship, and it's because we are binded through Christ and mm-hmm. our worship together, and we're a family at church. And there's something to really be said for worshiping with the teachers. It makes an immediate connection. And it's just, you're like family because you're in the church together and you're at school. And I think that makes a really big impact on the kids and on us as parents.
So the relationship between parent and teacher is very significant. It seems like a key part of this partnership in choosing a Lutheran school for your children.
Absolutely. You know, I think that sometimes, and I know I have talked to a lot of parents also that have kids that have some extra needs that they might have at the school, but I've had from a child that has special emotional needs and has been on, just recently got off her medication after 2 years and goes to therapy every week. I was able to really sit down with the principal, the teachers, everybody that touched her life in that school to say, this is what she needs. This is, you know, I'd cry to them and say, I don't know what to do with her. I don't know why she gets upset going to chapel, or like without sitting next to a certain person. She likes chapel, but she has to sit next to a certain teacher to take to walk there. And they all were so understanding and supportive of me. And they were all very empathetic and encouraging for us to work together as a team. And again, she has special needs, not just like, you know, that are different from most children in the classroom. So that also was really, really encouraging to me. And, you know, I didn't feel silly crying to them and saying, I don't know what to do with her. You know, I don't know why she's upset or what happened today. And really informative to me to help me feel better about, this was a rough day and here's why and here's how we got her through it, which they've gotten to know me enough to know how much that helps me as a mom.
How has that made a difference in your whole family? How has partnering with a Lutheran school made a difference in your whole family?
Well, I would say my husband and I, Mike and I always say all the time, we joke with each other. We're like, wow, that was like the best parenting choice we've made. We're like, props to us, because we don't always make, you know, we're not perfect, right?
What parent is.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I think that it was such a great choice for our family because we have them in a church and we're regular Sunday worshipers, and because we take them to a school, we are also living a more Christian life because we are choosing to make our children live a Christian life, and they're teaching us things. I mean, they'll come home and something about Epiphany I said that was wrong the other day, and Brady said, Mom, no, that is not, it's not that. And I was like, oh my gosh, she just schooled me on Epiphany, you know? And they are so enthusiastic about what they've learned. And, you know, the little things, like if they mess up at school and they hurt a kid's feelings or they've been hurt, there's a letter back from that child in their folder the next day that says, I'm sorry that I pushed you on the playground. I shouldn't have done that. I hope you can forgive me. I mean, those are really core lessons that we need to be teaching our children about forgiveness and grace and love and accepting when you make a mistake. And I don't know that I can't say that that's not happening in public schools, but I can say that there is a Christian-based, you know, reason that they're doing these things, and they know the reason is because God is with them and helping them throughout their day. And also, we had a really good friend that went through a cancer diagnosis last summer, and our kids were in there every morning starting their day praying for her. And that to me is like the fact that Brookie can go out of her classroom and say, I'm really nervous today, Mrs., you know, whoever she's with, it doesn't matter, but with Mrs. Burford, and she can say, I'm really nervous. Can we, I mean, she can pray about it. She can pray in school. I mean, my kids can go to school and pray. And that's amazing.
So it's obviously not just been an educational choice, but this has been a choice that really shapes the whole family.
It shapes the whole family. And I don't want to downplay the importance of the education, because they have an amazing educational experience.
Well, let's talk about that. Where would you say are some of the, what have you seen as some of the academic wins, or when it comes to education particularly, what have you seen as some of the successes for, particularly for your children?
Well, smaller classroom size mm-hmm. is great. The smaller classroom size, there's so much attention being put on all of the kids. The reading is exceptional in these kids. The behavior of these children, when you walk into either one of the we have a North and a South campus at St. Paul's. You walk down the halls, and the behavior of these children when you walk in for any reason in the middle of the day, they are respectful, they are quiet, they are listening to their teachers. Don't get me wrong, they might be loud in the playground because they're playing. But they have such respect for their teachers and such respect for each other. I mean, and by having those standards of, you know, respect and behavior, they're learning better because there's not all these distractions of, you know, misbehavior. And I'm not saying kids don't mess up there. I know none of these kids are perfect. I'm just saying that they are getting a lot of direct attention on their reading, their math, their science, their social studies, and they're getting a lot of life lessons on this is how we treat others and show respect in an environment when we're asked to listen and learn. And I think it's beyond exciting to me that they're in this environment. My sons are doing a wax museum project this next month where all the kids get to pick a historical figure. They're writing a 2-page report about it. They have to read the entire book. They're going to stand in their classroom, and there's a button that you press, and then the button is pressed, and the kids have to memorize like a 5 to 10 sentence, like synopsis of the person, and build a whole report in the back. I mean, it's really cool. And my son chose Steven Spielberg because he loves movies, and he gets to talk about Steven Spielberg. And some kids are picking Helen Keller, and you know, they have to have made some kind of contribution to the world. And that's really cool because they get to do things that interest them, but they're still learning.
How would you say your children feel about going to school?
Well, now, I'm sure that tomorrow they would appreciate an ice day. But no, my kids love going to school. They never, ever say, I don't want to school. They love their friends. They love their teachers. They love getting to see their pastors at school. They love their pastors are standing outside in the morning, waving hello to them. Our principal, Mrs. Profilet, is standing outside every morning welcoming the kids. They know, of course, every child by name. I know the parents. I know the parents in all the classes, so I feel connected and I feel comfortable reaching out to any of them at any time to say, hey, what do you think about this? Or do you want to do this fundraiser? Listen, I need somebody to help me on this volunteer thing. I'm picking you. And I feel comfortable because I know all of them. And I know all of them, a lot of them really, really well. And so that, I think, is also an advantage because I could go to them with anything, really, because we're all there for the same purpose. And, I mean, I could say a million wonderful things about the school, but I know my kids are excited about learning. They're excited about telling me what they're learning. And even when it comes to learning about, you know, when they do their religion work, they're excited about telling me about that too.
What is a typical conversation at dinner or other times as a family sound like with your kids?
Well, I can tell you a little tradition that we do each morning on the way to school that I think is really come from being at St. Paul's and being there at school. We started doing, you know, nightly devotions a couple, you know, years ago, where I can say I've been honestly doing them every night, not like, oh, we do devotions, like we really are doing them. And you know, they're encouraged at school, you know, get a book and do a devotion on something that you like. And so now every morning on the way to school, we will do a praise and a pray for something. So we each praise God for something and we each pray for someone. And so many of those prayers come for someone at school that I didn't know was going on. You know, I want to pray for so-and-so because her mom and dad are on a trip and I want them to have a safe trip. Or I want to pray for so-and-so because she had a hard day yesterday, or she wasn't feeling good, or one of her classmates was out for a week with a really bad virus. And, you know, I want to pray for her because she's been sick all week. And I just love that their hearts are full of thinking of others, and they're talking too about, like, they're excited about the things that they're learning. And Brady's learning how to write notes on a report so that he can do this report for Steven Spielberg. And on the way home yesterday, every day they learn more about Helen Keller. And then he gets in the car when I pick them up and tells Brookie and I about Helen Keller. And Brooke's like, what'd you learn about Helen Keller today? She can't wait to hear about it because she's so, Helen Keller was amazing, right? So those are a couple examples of how just this church in general and the school have become a part of our, and I love the routine on the way to school because they've got their minds in the right direction. They're going to school and they're thinking of others and they're praising God. And, you know, today my son praised, or Brooke praised God for color. That was great. I'll take it.
Color's good.
I know, color.
With just a little bit of time left before we talk more about the open house, would you say it's been worth the investment that your family's made, time, energy, resources for this education and partnership with St. Paul's Lutheran School?
I literally, and I'm not trying to sound like money is not an object because it is for every family. It is important it's as important as our mortgage payment. It is a bigger investment in my kids than anything I'll ever do.
Well, you've heard Laura's story about their choice to make a Lutheran school their partner in not just educating, but nurturing and raising their children, a part of their family. There are several Lutheran schools here in the St. Louis area, Lutheran schools across the country. We're going to celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week coming up the week of January 22nd. And part of that, kicking that off here in the St. Louis area, an open house. Kit, tell us a little bit more about what you can expect at open houses for Lutheran schools across the St. Louis area.
Well, my children attended Lutheran school as well, so I can tell you firsthand, open houses feature artwork, science curriculum projects, language art programs. You meet other families and you meet the faculty. And again, it's that family atmosphere that you wouldn't want to miss. You want to be a part of. And it's a great way if you're new to the Lutheran school to learn what really makes it valuable. Yeah. And I think you did a wonderful job in sharing all the intrinsic values of Lutheran schools. So thank you, Laura.
So how do we find an open house in the for National Lutheran Schools Week?
I would encourage you to visit our website, lesastl.org, or you may call us at 314-200-0797. And there is a listing of participating member schools and their dates for open house activity.
So this is an opportunity to find out more about schools, get questions answered, meet some of the faculty and staff of the schools as well, right?
Right, and learn about their curriculum and their academics, which they excel at. So,
now certainly this is just an afternoon or an evening. What time are most of them? Are they usually in the afternoon on Sunday?
Typically 1 to 3, maybe mm-hmm. 12 to 3 on the 22nd. But again, each school has a different schedule, so
sure.
Please confirm.
Check it out on lesastl.org.
Yes.
The Lutheran Elementary School Association website. Find out about the upcoming open houses for National Lutheran Schools Week. Anything going on in the Susick House for National Lutheran Schools Week?
They do a whole week at the school. Mm-hmm. So I got a lot on my plate at home, so I just kind of like contribute to that. But I did want to mention one other thing it was a key thing that we have gotten at our school. We have made some amazing extended family and friendships for this school. We have made, going on trips together with them, or can you take my kids for this or take it? I mean, we have made some lifelong friends out of with these families at the school, not just because they're mm-hmm. at the church, because they're at the school. And that has been, made an incredible impact on our family, being around these wonderful, good-hearted, fun, excited about Christianity and excited about just being good parents and raising their kids the right way. So I want to mention that too, because that's been so enriching to our life.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that your choice for a Lutheran school has made such an impact on your family.
Huge.
That not just Monday through Friday in school, but now Sunday morning as well, that you're connected to the body of Christ in this way. And the kids are so excited to see their teachers on Sunday as well.
They are.
Well, Kit, thanks so much for sharing with us about the upcoming open houses for National Lutheran Schools Week. I'm excited to kick that off here very soon. Thanks so much for all you do over at Lutheran Elementary School Association as well.
Thank you, Andy.
Laura Susick, thanks for sharing your story today. It was a pleasure to learn about your family and your children.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.